It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
To Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. You can also watch the show on Twitch. ESPN 1000 Chicago is the channel. We are going to talk some football here. Abdallah, if you want to talk football with us, you're more than welcome to join. I saw this story yesterday. I thought it was interesting with the Cleveland Browns. They have a new head coach, Kevin Stefanski. He is an offensive-minded head coach. The story is on Pro Football Talk. Here's the story. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski says he will decide at some point during the preseason whether he or offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt will be the primary play caller. It quoted, "That remains to be seen on who will be calling the plays this season for Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Austin Hooper, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and the offensive side of the ball for the Cleveland Browns." Isn't that a little strange that you still don't know right now as we head towards July and we head towards the NFL season that a new head coach and Kevin Stefanski doesn't know who's going to call the plays when they actually get back to playing football this fall?
Well, yes, because, you know, you're a new head coach. You would think that they would have a plan. You'd think that would be part of the interviewing process. It'd be like, will you call plays or will you have someone call plays? The answer shouldn't be, I don't know. You know what I mean? There's also something else that's weird about the Browns. I heard Mike Tenenbaum say this earlier this week on Get Up that Kevin Stefanski is going to have a short leash with Baker Mayfield. And if he struggles early and continues like he struggled last year, that he'll have a short leash and he'll pull him. Well, who are you pulling him for? You're really going to run Case Keenum out there? I don't understand. And Mike Tenenbaum's connected, so he might know something. I don't think he would have gone on this minute and a half long, you know, story about who he knows Kevin Stefanski, right, and what kind of guy he is, and he's a new head coach and he wants to leave his mark and he wants to put his mark on the team and he wants to, you know, say that he's in charge and show them that he's a leader. But you're going to pull Baker Mayfield and put in Case Keenum and expect to win football games?
And that's coming from a head coach who was the offensive coordinator for the Vikings last season, Stefanski, who, right, Tenenbaum saying he wants to leave his mark, but yet you don't know who's going to be the play caller when the season starts. Like, the whole scheme now in the National Football League is this, right? You find a young quarterback, and then you go find a coach who could then lead this young quarterback.
Yeah.
And usually the MO is you hire a young head coach who was a play caller, who is a play caller, who is then going to call the plays for your offense, because that's the whole point. The entire point of the NFL now in 2020 and beyond is you find a quarterback and you get an offensive-minded head coach. Every team of the league is doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few teams that go about it a different way where they go and hire a defensive-minded head coach like a Vic Fangio getting a job with the Denver Broncos. That's unusual in today's NFL.
Because you don't want your guy to leave. You don't want you have a good offensive coordinator. He creates his high-flying offense. You score a bunch of points. That offensive coordinator is going to leave and become a head coach.
Right. Like, that's how it works. So if you go and hire a Kevin Stefanski to be your head coach, who was a part of an offense that it's not like the Vikings were putting up 40 a game, you know, in a quarterback that's not even an elite to above-average quarterback in Kirk Cousins, comes in, he doesn't know who's going to be the play caller, and then you're going to say there's going to be a short leash on Baker Mayfield. That, to me, is like, it screams like they don't really have a plan. And that if you have a short leash on Baker Mayfield, that tells me that you are already desperate before you're even playing football games. Like, shouldn't it be, we are going to support Baker as best as we can? Because, like, if you look at the stats, what he did at Oklahoma and what he did in his rookie season in the NFL is on par with some of the all-time great quarterbacks coming into the league. Last year, he was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Freddie Kitchens, I think, had a lot to do with that. That offense was a mess. So I'm surprised when you look at the Browns and you head into this season that the Browns, once again, there's a lot of questions up in the air. Like, think about it this way. If the Bears go out and hire an offensive-minded head coach in Matt Nagy, and Matt Nagy comes in and says, yeah, I'm not going to call the plays, like, we give him a lot of crap throughout the season because of his lack of attention to detail to the running game and being able to stick to that. But I wouldn't want it any other way. I want Matt Nagy to be the play caller. I want him to be the maestro of the offense. I want him to have that personal relationship with the quarterback he's trying to train. Like, and that goes back to this whole Bears conversation too. I don't think it's a surprise at all if Nick Foles is the starter week one. Why? Because he has a relationship with the guy who's going to be calling the plays, and they've worked together in the past. Thus, when you see Nick Foles as the starter, to me, that's obvious. Now, if you're the Browns, like, if you go to Case Keenum, that to me is taking a step backwards. You need to give Baker Mayfield everything you can to try and figure this out.
Of course you do. And, you know, talking about the Bears, not only does Nick Foles have a relationship with Nagy, he has a relationship with every single offensive
play
caller. And all of those guys could call plays. They could.
But Nagy's going to do it.
Nagy's going
to
do it.
I want Matt Nagy to call the
plays. And hopefully these guys have input and they're like, hey, this is working, this is not working. Hopefully what Matt Nagy has done, and I don't know if Mark Helfrich was doing this, but hopefully these guys go to Nagy and say, hey, you need to run the ball more. Or, hey, this isn't working. Hey, I'm up in the booth. I'm looking at this. It's not working. You need to take advantage of this. You need to do this. During the week, hey, let's install this. This didn't work last week. Let's try this. Let's do this. Hopefully all of these offensive minds aren't just, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen, but it's more of a, hey, we've all known each other. We all know how we work with each other. We all know what is going to work and what is not going to work for Nick Foles because we've all worked with him before. We know Trubisky's not going to be able to do it. He hasn't been able to do it since he's been here. So ultimately, I think it's going to be Nick Foles' job, and I think it's because of those relationships that Nick Foles has already, you know, has established with these coaches.
Yeah, right. And I think that's going to help him when they finally get on the field. And I think that's what's important here. And so when you go back to the Browns and they don't even know what their plan is going to be, like, unfortunately, I feel as if this is heading to a place where we're going to get a quarterback who's going to be ditched on the side of the road at some point here in Baker Mayfield. Say they come out, talented team, they can't win football games. They're going to switch to Case Keenum. And then what? Baker is going to be on the market. He's going to be like a Ryan Tannehill. He's going to be a Marcus Mariota-type quarterback who we gave him one shot, and then we couldn't really figure it out because we have coaching ineptitude. Mm-hmm. We have all this stuff going on that we couldn't actually help a young quarterback get to where he needs to be. The other quarterback that's in that same boat would be if the Jets do something where they fire their head coach mid-season if they don't play well. Or something like that. Like, Sam Darnold could be in that same conversation.
Yeah.
All the talent of the world, but you have all this dysfunction behind the scenes with different coaches. Like, Adam Gase has to figure it out. The Jets have to get off to a hot start. They're in the same conversation. They're not as talented on paper as the Browns are, but they need to win games this year, too.
Well, the other guy that I look at, too, is the situation in Oakland with Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota. If Derek Carr comes out and struggles, we know how John Gruden is. He's going to go with the hot hand. If Derek Carr is struggling, I know Marcus Mariota hasn't played well. He's had injuries. I get that. You want to talk about bad backs. Marcus Mariota, I think that if you look at what he's been able to do in the past, if Derek Carr is struggling, they have a very viable backup option to go to that I think that if he does come out, you've got a ton of offensive weapons there in Oakland, and you need to take advantage of it. And if he's not able to, then I wouldn't put it past John Gruden to put in Marcus Mariota and have that be his, not be his quarterback, but maybe just, you know, try to figure out what's wrong with Derek Carr and try to move forward that way. I see that as another option, you know, where a backup could come in. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, Sam Darnold's going to lose his job or anything with the Jets like you're talking about, but Derek Carr could very well lose his job to Marcus Mariota just because of his reputation. He can come in and run an offense. He can come in and manage a game where if Derek Carr's turning the ball over every couple plays, then Marcus Mariota could come in and be that stopgap for a little bit.
I don't think Sam Darnold will lose his job, but again, I feel as if NFL franchises, if you have all this this change and all this movement with the voices going into the heads of these young quarterbacks, mm-hmm. it can't be beneficial.
No.
Stability is what you want. Nick and Niles, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Black. Hey, Abdallah. You drive me nuts with the whole Mitch stuff. I just can't understand why you make excuses for those guys, Mariota, Baker. Baker's got way more talent than Mitch has ever had, but we're so quick just to write this kid off. Like, he's done nothing. He had one good year, but he didn't. I get where you're coming from. That's now or never. But why are we making excuses for everybody else but not Mitch? And Nagy's definitely part of the problem as well.
You're suggesting because we're assuming that Foles is going to start that we're not supporting Trubisky? Is that why?
No, I listen to you guys all the time. It drives me nuts. No, I definitely feels like everybody but maybe Cap has written off Mitch. But we'll make excuses for everybody else's quarterback.
But, Nick, you do realize that Cap has changed that stance multiple times, though, right?
Oh, he's a flipper. Okay. No doubt about it. Trust me, I understand where you're coming from. But just to assume that somebody can't overcome something, I don't know if I'm ready to put those restrictions on somebody, especially a young guy like Mitch is. I do think if he doesn't get it together this year, I do think you got to move on. But if we're going to make excuses for Baker, we're going to make excuses for this other quarterback. I'm sure we can all agree, Baker's got way more talent than Mitch has ever had.
Yeah, and I think that's it, Nick. And thanks for the call. I think that the reason we give Baker Mayfield the benefit of the doubt is the dude won a Heisman. He set records at Oklahoma. Yeah. His first season here, in the NFL, he was amazing. Like, I think that Baker Mayfield has shown he can do it. He had a bad year last year, whereas the opposite for Mitch, where we've seen a few bad years, it's not like he lit up college football when he was at North Carolina. He couldn't even win a job. He had to wait until the other guy left. So I think with Trubisky, we just don't know what Ryan Pace saw in him to warrant the second overall pick in the draft. When you saw it with Mayfield, you're like, okay, that guy may not be the first pick. Like, he wasn't projected to be the first pick in the draft until, you know, he started going through all the workouts and everything like that. People saw, you know, him win the Heisman and everything like that. So I think, like, you look at what Mayfield has done, the talent is there. With Trubisky, I don't even know if the talent is there. I haven't seen the talent be there.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing, a part of this conversation, the point I was making is dysfunction with the head coach and the play caller with the quarterback, the young quarterback, is what I'm pointing to here with the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. And that's why I'm suggesting that the Jets don't make a move, because more moves could lead to dysfunction. It seems as if Mitchell Trubisky has stability behind him now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we have had two full seasons with Matt Nagy. I don't think Matt Nagy is going anywhere. So the point that I'm making is look at Trubisky and the 41 starts, which is more than Baker Mayfield, the 30, which I know it's getting close. He's played in 30 games. Mitch, 41. Sam Darnold, though, has played in 26. So, like, Darnold, I feel as if there's still time. Mm-hmm. Baker, absolutely, to Nick's point, the clock is ticking. I don't disagree with that. I think what we've seen from Mitch is the opportunities have been there. I don't understand this concept that we're just not, like, do you not watch Bears football? Is that something that doesn't take place in this town? I think most people watch.
I mean, he won 12 games, Chris.
Yeah.
Lest we forget, he won 12 games.
At no point has anyone in the history of the world forgot that the Bears won 12 games in 2018.
I remember.
They made the playoffs.
I was there at the playoff game.
Who
I
has
remember
forgotten
what happened.
Who forgot that?
I remember his first half. It was awful.
Anthony in Shorewood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on, guys? You know, you really just took the words straight out of my mouth, man. I mean, I called in solely because of that most recent caller you guys took, who, you know, seemed upset about people, quote unquote, writing off Mitch, which, in my opinion, I don't think we're doing at all as Bears fans. And again, I have the same take that you just shared. I just think it's purely, you know, like, it's not a matter of the talent not being there with him. It just was solely like a confidence thing. And then, again, in my opinion, I think it was a mixture of Nagy being a new coach and him being a new quarterback and that, like, you know, that combination just kind of exploding this past season. But, I mean, it is now or never. As a Bears fan, it really frustrates me to hear, you know, other fellow Bears fans not feel that same way. Like, it is now or never. We don't have time to waste with, you know, trying to develop Mitch for what, 2-3 more years. Like, we have a Super Bowl roster right now, in my opinion, and it just pains me to know that there's so many Bears fans out there. It's not a matter of, you know, like me. I think Mitch is, you know, he's obviously a good guy. I think there's potential there, but it's just, you know, it's not working, and it's just really frustrating to talk about Bears football and people, you know, like, how many times have we had this same situation in the past decade or two? I think it was, you know, I was pretty young at this point, but it was pretty similar situation roster-wise when we went to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. You know, like, he was awful. I mean, it wasn't awful, but we had such a great team and we should have been able to capitalize, and now we're here again. And it just would really, really bum me out and make it hard for me to, you know, be as big of a Bears fan as I am if we didn't take advantage of these great players that we have. So that's really all I had to say. I just hopped in the radio, and that was the first thing I heard, and I wanted to share my thoughts.
Thank you, Anthony. We appreciate it. More of your Bears calls at 312-332-3776 next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
We're talking football with you this morning on ESPN 1000. The phone number is 312-332-3776. I saw this in the Baltimore Sun earlier this week. Offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, Greg Roman, talking about his quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and the long-term viability of the offense with Lamar Jackson heading into this next season. Lamar Jackson wins the MVP last year, takes the NFL by storm. Can this Baltimore Ravens offense get better? Well, first of all, they drafted J.K. Dobbins, which to me is... he was one of the best offensive players in college football last year at Ohio State, the running back. I mean, that guy should have gotten Heisman votes as well, and as well as his teammate Justin Fields last season. So when you look at the Baltimore Ravens and this offense going to the next level, what Greg Roman's talking about is that here's the quote. There's a magic to his style and how he plays, some creativity. We always want to focus on that creativity and the energy into winning football decisions on the field. Accuracy, timing, vision, all those things. There are certain areas we want to work on, emphasize more, throwing the ball to different parts of the field, for example. And what the column points out is that Lamar Jackson last year improved his passer rating, and that was well noted, but he struggled in targeting receivers outside the hashes. So if you think about that, over the middle of the field, he was really good, which also helps out his running ability, right? Because if he can pass the ball over the middle of the field, that means linebackers, safeties are targeting more on the receivers crossing the zones than maybe looking outside, which then he can maybe slip away, get out to the hashes, and go down the sidelines for a run. Mm-hmm. If he is able to add the ability to pass to different parts of the field, as in outside the hashes, in the pocket, Lamar Jackson could get to a point where he is on the same level as a Patrick Mahomes. He isn't right now, and I don't know if he can do that. But it's interesting that a player like Lamar Jackson and a offensive coordinator like Greg Roman still working to fine-tune a player who won the MVP, and they put up an incredible amount of points leading the National Football League last season. Mm-hmm. But then again, they get into the playoffs, and they pitch a dud game. And they lose at home to the Titans. I think this team, you know, Pro Football Focus ranks them as the best roster. This is definitely a team I'm excited to watch when we get to the football season.
Well, you mentioned, you know, they led the league in points per game at 33.2. They were second in yards per game with over 400 yards. The first team was in yards per game?
Was it the Buccaneers?
No.
Yards per game.
I was surprised.
Yeah, that's why I'm not saying the Chiefs, and nope. I'm not saying the 49ers.
Nope.
You said surprising.
The 49ers were fourth. The Bucs were third.
Yards per game.
The Chiefs
I knew the Bucs were up
sixth.
There. Sixth. Was it Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals?
It was not.
Yards per
total
game.
Offensive yards per game.
Oh, the Titans?
Nope. The Cowboys.
Wow. Oh, that's right. Dak was having a hell of a year. You're right. Okay.
So back to the Ravens. Look, you look at quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, and when he came into the league, everybody was like, he's not going to be a quarterback, not going to be a quarterback. The Ravens were like, he's going to be our quarterback. We're going to completely change our offensive system. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It was great. It was awesome, right? And then you look at the quarterback himself as Lamar Jackson, and you look at guys like Patrick Mahomes who are saying, I'm just learning how to read defenses. These guys get better. These guys progress. So, yeah, I get it. He had a bad playoff game. The Titans might be an anomaly. The Titans might not even make the playoffs this year. They won with ball control, with Derrick Henry. You think Ryan Tannehill is going to be the guy to lead them to a Super Bowl?
No.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely not.
So, look, the Titans, I think the Titans were a fluke last year. I think that the Ravens losing to them were a fluke last year. I believe more in Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense and Harbaugh and everything that the Ravens are about more than I believe in the Titans and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Will they have a good defense? Will they still be able to have ball control and run the ball? Sure. But when it comes down to it, teams are going to figure that out, right? And if Lamar Jackson keeps adding elements to his game and keeps progressing and getting better and is on the path of Patrick Mahomes, as in it took me a couple of years to figure out how to read defenses and learn coverages and all that kind of stuff, he's only going to get better. He's like an NBA player. He's going to add something to his game every single year. He's going to put another tool in his toolbox. And if that's, you know, getting better at passing down the middle or getting past and reading routes and looking to guys on the seam or whatever it is, he's going to get better. And that's scary. Because if you're averaging, you know, 33 points a game, that led the league. I believe they were the only team that averaged over 30 points a game. They were. The only team, the second one was 29.9. The 49ers averaged 29.9 points per game. So, to me, they're just going to get better. And like you said, that's scary.
Yeah,
like
of course it's scary.
That's scary. And I think that Lamar Jackson, people wrote him off at the beginning. People are starting to realize that Lamar Jackson is the real deal. And I think that the Ravens will figure out how to make him better, and he's going to work on his game and continue to get better.
And full circle, going back to the conversation we were having 10 to 15 minutes ago, you look at young quarterbacks in the league and you have to ask, what did they do before they get to the NFL? And Lamar Jackson was a Heisman Trophy candidate. The knock on Lamar Jackson was he was not big enough to play the position at that style, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to run and to throw. And he said to himself, he turned it around and said, I need to get better as a passer. And he did. He got drafted by the Ravens. And then he is now trying to implement something new each and every season. And that's why you look at a Baker Mayfield, who was incredible in college, or Sam Darnold, who did pretty incredible things at USC. Could have had more success, but with what he was working with, not the best situation there as far as coaching goes. So, like, it's a full picture situation. That's why you and I have always been so high on someone like a Deshaun Watson. We watch college football. We host the college football show here at ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood, Chicago's college tailgate. We saw Patrick Mahomes and the amazing numbers that he put up, and it was intriguing. Did we ever really talk a whole lot about Texas Tech football? Not really.
No.
But we were well aware of what Mahomes was doing. And he was like, oh, there's this gunslinging quarterback who's putting up incredible numbers. And that's why you get back to the conversation, what did Mitch do at North Carolina? And it always comes back to the question of, well, or the conversation of, we're allowing someone like Lamar Jackson to develop more. And it's like, yeah, but we've seen Lamar Jackson now for quite some time, and he's been a really good player at every level he's been at now. That, to me, tells me that he's a good football player. Same with Deshaun Watson. Dominated the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Takes down the beast in Alabama, one of the greatest college football programs ever, from behind in the fourth quarter. That tells me he's a really good player. You know, like, so, like, all this stuff kind of put together. That's one of those things where we look forward, and I'm concerned about Justin Herbert. Because Justin Herbert at Oregon, he was there for 4 years, right?
He never really got better.
Never really did anything. Like, what did Oregon do in the last couple of years?
And they,
it's not,
you know,
like there's some power in the Pac-12 that is taking them down. Like, who's the power in the Pac-12?
Well, and the knock on them is, you know, and people will use it to detract from Justin Herbert and also say that Justin Herbert has more potential, is the fact that they became a running offense. The fact that they, you know, stacked that offensive line with a bunch of big dudes and they just tried to ball control and run it down your throat. And Justin Herbert was actually hamstrung by his offensive coordinator and by the coach. Okay, well, I'll say that if Justin Herbert could play like Baker Mayfield did, or like, you know, Joe Burrow did, or like Tua Tagovailoa did, they wouldn't have become a ball control type offense, and they would have looked like Oregon of the past and tried to light up the scoreboard, because Justin Herbert was able to do that. I don't know if they changed because he couldn't do that, or because, you know, they didn't see that potential in him, but ultimately they took the ball out of his hands a lot. And if he was as good as those guys, they probably wouldn't have done that.
Right. Like, that's the rub of the conversation, is like, it's not like they were like, you know what, we've got a
well, here's an example.
We've got a quarterback who's been here from some time, who has some veteran leadership, but let's not use him.
Here's
an
example.
That's not how college football works.
Jalen Hurts transferred from Alabama to Oklahoma.
Right.
And everybody's knock on Jalen Hurts is, well, he's not accurate, he can't do this, he can't do that, right? It's not like Oklahoma said, well, we're going to stack the box and we're going to be this run-first offense and we're going to do all that. And we just want a guy, we just want a dude to come in and just manage the game, and Jalen Hurts is going to come in and manage the game. Jalen Hurts had set records at Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts became a better passer. He became more accurate as the year went on. He's getting better as a passer, and they saw that at Oklahoma, and they played to his strengths. Now, he's not going to be a starter in the league right now because the Eagles drafted him, but ultimately, he's probably one of the best backups in the league right now. And so they're going to use him if they can, as whether it's a second option at quarterback, or he's going to line up a wide receiver, or they're going to use him for trick plays or whatever. The point is that if you have a quarterback who can run your system, you're going to do it. And Justin Herbert just kind of became a guy to manage the game. Yeah, he scored when they needed him to. But if he was going to be a Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes type of player, they would have tailored that offense to him, and
come
not
on,
vice
Abdallah.
Versa.
He had that tough run in the Rose Bowl.
Okay, good for him.
A tough run for a touchdown. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, throughout time, young people have always found a way to piss off old people. The latest edition takes place this week. We saw the fallout.
You're going to ruin me, Tyler. I'm telling you. You're going to ruin it.
What?
You're going to ruin us, you and your young blood.
We address it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Something this week that I saw online that it hit home for me, because I've never felt more like it never made more sense to me than seeing this video I saw online. And if you're like, oh, you're going to talk about a TikTok video, this video has now been seen by 23 million people.
What do TikTok people do?
They do little dances. Are you dancing for TikTok right now?
I just got to.
So there's this video online of these girls. They look like they're what, teenage girls, right?
Yes.
And the whole point of the video is that they're playing music from like the early to mid 2000s.
Okay.
And they have on the screen, if they know what it is, and if they don't know what it is, and if they know what it is, they're supposed to go to that side of the screen.
Yeah.
It's a visual thing for TikTok. People put words on the screen and you go back and forth the whole thing.
Yeah.
When I saw this video, it hit home for me, not because of the music that's played in the video, because I've never felt like something connected more.
It angered you.
Opposite.
What?
I felt it. You know why? You and I have dealt with this since we started working at ESPN 1000. You and I are both 35. We work with a bunch of guys who are 50 plus.
Yeah.
Some close to 60, right? Two different generations. And you and I are constantly told, as I'm sure many of you in your workplace, or maybe in your household, or maybe wherever you the bar you go to, you are told that things that were cool back in the day are the only cool things that exist.
Well, yeah, they are.
And you young kids, if you don't understand, you don't get it.
Yeah.
You, Abdallah.
My music's better than your music.
You youngster.
My movies are better than your movies.
You don't get it.
Taxi is better than Arrested Development.
The only sitcom we have ever been told about here at 1000 is Seinfeld. There's no other sitcom to ever exist.
I like Seinfeld, though.
I like Seinfeld, too. That's a problem. You and I like it.
I love Seinfeld.
See, that's a problem. You and I also like a lot of things that took place before our heyday of, like, the late 90s into the 2000s when we were in high school and college.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things from the 80s I like.
Oh, I love, you know what I love? I love getting the lead out. Love doing that. I love getting the lead out.
You know what band is awesome? Rush.
Oh,
I love Rush.
Give me some Neil Peart. R.I.P. in peace.
I love GNR.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses and Appetite for Destruction, maybe the greatest rock album of all time. Take that. That's my thought, not yours, old timer. So we can appreciate it.
You know what I'm the master of?
Puppet. Your domain?
Puppets.
Oh, you see, I was going to give you the Seinfeld joke.
No,
You went Metallica.
Puppets. You know what I ride? The Lightning.
Ride the Lightning's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
T-shirt.
You know who deserves justice? All.
All. They all do.
Justice for all.
They do. And see, there are things from the past we can appreciate.
Yeah.
But it's not the only things to exist.
No. Listen, I will have the same energy at a Metallica concert as I will at a Travis Scott concert.
Fair.
Same energy.
Both concerts.
Both concerts. And I'll do it at Drake, and I'll do it at Jay-Z. Same energy.
But the key here is you don't have to be yelled at.
No.
Or told that because you're the young guy, it's the only thing that exists.
But I'm coming for Tyler.
Well, here's the thing.
17-year-old Tyler.
Well,
the youngest person to ever graduate from Syracuse University.
Yeah, he's...
University of Syracuse?
One of the Syracuse
University.
It's just Syracuse, isn't it? It's just Syracuse.
It's just Syracuse.
Okay, so back to the TikTok video.
Mm-hmm.
So these girls upset a lot of people in this video because they played 10 songs in a minute.
Okay.
From the 2000s to the 2010s. And these songs, at no point do they say on the screen that they know what these songs are. And so millennials...
They go 0 for 10. Wow.
So millennials everywhere are upset. Just like the people we work with sometimes who are from a different generation get upset at us when we don't think that Whitesnake is the greatest band to ever exist.
No, they got a couple bangers.
A couple, yes. Understandable. Not the greatest ever. Or that we might prefer a new sitcom that didn't take place and end in 1998, like Seinfeld.
You know what's funny? Rami.
Rami is a good show. So with that said, people around the internet got very angry because how could these girls not know what these songs are?
How dare they?
How dare they? We're not going to do that. But we are going to test Tyler.
Of course we are.
Tyler,
and we're going to ridicule him if he gets any of these wrong.
Tyler, how old are you?
23.
We're not shaming you.
When were you born?
97.
See, that makes it worse.
1993.
You don't sound young
Hot
when you're 23.
Presses.
You sound young to me when you say you were born in 97.
This is fantastic. So here it is. Tyler, do you know this video?
Did you see this video?
Yep. You're one of the 23 million
so
people that saw it?
I've seen the video, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
I have not.
You have not?
No, so I want to see if I get these.
Tyler, do you have your scorecard ready?
I can make it ready,
okay.
Yeah.
So there are 10 songs played.
Mm-hmm.
I will play the 10 songs. It's a minute-long clip. There are 10 songs within. This is directly from the video.
Okay.
The girls in the video had no clue what any of these songs are.
Okay.
I want to see if you
How
guys
How many did
know.
You get?
I got like 8.
Okay. Let me see. Okay.
There's definitely one I had to look up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that I knew, but I didn't know the name.
Okay.
Tyler, you don't have to know the names of the songs. Let's just see
if
you
can sing along with it, then it counts.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay. Or just know the artist.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think that's a fair way to play this. Okay, 10 songs in a minute.
Okay.
Here's the video.
Go. Say my name.
My Name by Shante. Just a Dream. Carrie Hilson, I can't remember the... Come in the club. 50 Cent. Heard it, don't remember the name. Heard it, don't know the name. Same thing. Heard it, don't know the name. Forever Young. All the Lights. Live Your Life. T.I. Rihanna.
Okay, so you got 5.
10! Boom!
Abdallah got 10? 10 for 10?
10 for 10.
The one I didn't know was Let It Burn by Usher.
What? You don't know Usher?
Well, I figured it was, but I Googled it to be corrected.
You don't know Usher?
Tyler got Nelly, Just a Dream, Knock You Down, Carrie Hilson. I didn't know that one either. That was the other one. I knew it was Kanye, but I didn't know the female voice.
Yes.
50 Cent you got, Tyler. Forever Young. Young Forever is the name of the song.
Oh, Jay-Z. Right.
Who sings it?
It's Jay-Z. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'll give you that one because I think we all know that. That's Jay-Z. All the Lights, Kanye, you got. And then Live Your Life, T.I.
And Rihanna. T.I. and Rihanna. Give Rihanna respect.
And Rihanna. So Tyler got 6 after consideration.
All right.
Pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. If you're dry, I'll give all the names here. So it's Destiny's Child. You said Say My Name, but did you know it was Destiny's Child? Nelly, Just a Dream.
Yeah.
Banger.
This is the Carrie Hilson and Kanye. Knock You Down.
This was probably the toughest one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
Knocks You Down, you thought was the toughest one?
Yeah, 50, I did.
50
Yo, that was like one of the first songs I got on my iPod.
Really?
Here,
yeah.
Here, Tyler, this one. Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott, Dance come on.
Yeah.
You youngster.
Let It Burn, Usher. Tyler had no clue for this next one. Dilemma. Kelly Rowland. Nelly again.
When Nelly battled Ludacris, he played that last.
Yeah. Jay-Z. Kanye.
And T.I. and Rihanna. Like, when they were doing those DJ battles, or not DJ battles, but they were having the battles between people on Instagram.
Instagram,
you know, it was Ludacris against Nelly, and Nelly would be like, all right, I got this banger, and he would play a song, and Ludacris would just be like, oh yeah, this was number one, this was number one, this was number one, just crushing him. And Nelly, we're like, when is he going to play Dilemma? And like, as you got later and later, because they do 20 songs each, you're like, oh no, he's going to play Dilemma last. And you're like, why would you play Dilemma? Like, you've got so many better songs than Dilemma. And he played Dilemma last, and everybody's like, oh, I just feel bad for Nelly at this point.
So Tyler gets 6 of 10. Not bad. Yeah. I also, like, I'm not upset that you didn't get 4 of those. Like,
no,
okay.
Like, okay, everybody knows that 50 Cent song, but it's also, I mean, that came out when I was 18.
Yeah, right. That was a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. So, but it's a very popular song. Like, that's probably rap songs of the 2000s.
Right. Yeah, that's a basketball pregame playlist. Like, holds up.
Absolutely. I would have been upset at myself if I didn't get all 10. I would have been very mad at myself.
I almost was beat by Tyler.
Oh, that's
okay. Well done, Tyler.
Thank you. Those are all, like, a lot of those were my first, like, couple songs that I had downloaded on my iPod.
Yeah, see?
That's that era.
See, there you go.
Okay.
So, but, like, people are very upset that these girls didn't know these songs. Who cares?
Well, it's how old are they?
I don't know. They look like
TikTok,
teenagers.
Like 13,
no, they
look 14?
Like they were, 12, 13.
Okay, yeah, that's...
So, who cares?
I'm not upset about that. I don't know who their stuff is. What's it? Jojo Rabbit?
What? Wasn't that a movie?
No. Who's Jojo? Isn't there a girl named Jojo?
I don't know.
Yeah, she's a singer.
She was
no,
a singer?
That's a different one. Like, no, hold on. Younger. That's not who I'm thinking of.
Tyler...
Doja Cat?
No, not... I figured out... Jojo... I don't know how to say her name.
You sound old.
I do. I think she's a TikToker or she's on YouTube. I have no idea who this person is. Anyway, she's for young people. yeah, I don't know. I don't know some young people stuff. Like, some stuff I see on TikTok, I'm like, I don't understand Why are you just dancing and mouthing words?
Let me ask the question for Tyler. Maybe you know the answer to this. I saw videos on TikTok, and now the song is like played on pop stations all over. The Coffee for Your Head song. Was that song, this is going to sound so old, was that song specifically released because it was so used on TikTok?
Yeah, so if you go on like Spotify or even Apple Music, they have curated playlists from TikTok songs.
From the TikTok songs. But like now, that song is played on radio, and that was solely from the TikTok videos.
So it's kind of like how in the Super Bowl, one of the reasons why you want to do the Super Bowl is because it gives your old songs a bump.
Yeah,
a lot of these artists
are getting during the Super Bowl halftime show.
Right.
Yes. Right.
So a lot of these songs are getting these bumps because they've turned into.
Do you know this song
I'm
talking about?
What the hell are you talking about?
We'll play a clip of it when we come back. Seriously, you haven't heard this song?
I don't think so.
It'll be stuck in your head the rest of the day.
Okay.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah,
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Huebner and Xander coming up from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah with you. Tyler Aki producing today's show. Download the podcast of today's show on the ESPN Chicago app. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Leave a review. We appreciate it.
Tell your friends.
We appreciate you listening to Black and Abdallah. You can check it out on the ESPN Chicago app,
Give
Spotify.
Us 5 stars. What are you, a desperate Uber driver? Yeah, Give us 5 stars.
You never know, buddy. Just trying to get the hard sell in there for our podcast.
I appreciate it.
Spotify, tune in, ESPN Chicago app, Apple Podcasts, find the podcast. 5 stars. That's what Abdallah wants. All right, so we've gotten to the stage of the show where we talk about things that we don't understand. And we try and figure out what the young people are trying to do.
What have we become?
Yeah, I don't know. So we were talking about TikTok because of this video that aired where these girls, these young girls, I guess, teenagers, don't know any of these songs. So it goes through 10 songs in a minute. Destiny's Child, right? Like, we know that. Then we get Nelly, right? So it's all these songs from the early 2000s. You were jamming to that.
I love that song, right?
So early 2000s to mid 2000s is what we were looking
at. Here's what's great about Nelly. Sidetrack for a second. We got a couple minutes.
Yeah. Give me your Nelly take.
Nelly knew, like, the vibe, right? Like, Nelly knew I need to put out... Ride With Me. Like, that was the vibe of that year.
Right.
Like, Just a Dream vibe of that year. I'm going to do a song with, who do you do? Was it NSYNC or Backstreet Boys? It was one of the two.
I think it was NSYNC, right? Because didn't they tour together a couple
years
ago?
That was the vibe. Yeah. That was the vibe that year. He did a country song, the vibe that year. Nelly understands how to make a hit.
Yeah.
I love Nelly. He's not as good as Ludacris, but still. Nelly knew, and like that song was perfect for that year and like that time, and I loved it. It was so good. Anyway, keep going.
So we were talking about random songs from TikTok that then make it big, and we referenced this song called Coffee for Your Head. I've heard it on the radio now.
Yes. Once I Googled it, I knew exactly what it was. I thought it was Mac Miller. It's not. It's another dude.
Play it, Tyler. Do you have the song there? Go ahead. Have you heard this song?
I have many times, and I have no idea where it came from.
I think it came from TikTok. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't know who this Baba Doobie is. She's British.
Man, we sound old.
She's British. Well, she's just doing the hook.
Pau Fu. Don't forget about Pau Fu.
Is that the guy?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm saying with the hook, though. Yeah, it's Pau Fu.
Okay, all right. Stop the music. So did my question to the young people listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did the hook?
Do we have any of those?
Of the song, was that from TikTok, and then the guy rapped over it and released it as a song? Like, where is the song from? Where did this come? Play it again from the start, so people can hear this. The hook is something about coffee for your head.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hook.
Stay awake for too long. Don't go to bed. I'll make a cup of coffee for your head. I don't want to fall asleep. I don't want to pass.
All right, you can stop it now. So, like, that's what we were talking about. Like, where did that song come from?
I don't know.
We'll have to Google and
I'm looking it up right now.
It's on, like, the Billboard charts now. It's like a top hit.
He sampled it. I don't sounds like that. Like, it's not, like, that's, it's like Kanye.
But that's
right?
How it sounds on TikTok when it was being used all over the place,
maybe
like months
ago.
Maybe
she does sound like that. Maybe I just don't know. Maybe I just don't know.
So there you go. You know, I saw you talking with Waddle the other day about the Loch Ness Monster.
I did.
Did you see, by chance, and you don't think that the Loch Ness Monster is really a viable conspiracy? You don't think it's real?
Okay. Could there be a sea monster or an ocean monster, specifically an ocean monster, because I don't think there'd be a sea monster, because seas we can kind of figure out, but is there an ocean monster? Maybe. I'm talking about specifically Loch Ness. Loch Ness is not as deep as Lake Michigan.
No.
We got sonar. We got radar.
And it's landlocked.
I could figure out if there's a monster in Lake Michigan. We would have seen it by now.
So you think.
That's why I don't think that there is a Loch Ness monster specifically, because you could have found it by now.
Okay.
Right?
So to that point, did you see the story in the New York Times today about a region of the Great Barrier Reef that has never been explored, has been explored using technology, and they found all these different thriving fossil ancestor creatures that date back to a half billion years?
Awesome. I'm sure that there are. There's giant squids. There's all this kind of stuff.
They mapped out 13,000 square miles of seabed and discovered submarine canyons, fields, and submerged reefs.
Perfect. I'm sure there's something weird down there. But I was talking specifically about Loch Ness.
Well, it makes no sense to me because how did it get there in the first place? Did it get there? Yeah. If it's real, was it there swimming around and then Pangaea took place and then the continents formed and they got trapped within that lake? Is that how it took place?
I don't know how Loch Ness was formed.
I'm just guessing. It's a landlocked lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any outs to the sea. Why would it stay there then?
A lot of rain.
Not that much rain. Didn't rain that much. Not at all. I'm questioning how it would get there. Is it an ancestor of a creature that lived there previously?
I think we would have seen it by now. That's why my argument was there, because it's more likely that there's a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot, because there's more land. It could travel from place to place.
Sea than land.
Not in Loch Ness. I was specifically talking about Loch Ness.
Talk to you tomorrow at 7.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.